It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for some NFL overreaction or reality. My first question for y'all, overreaction or reality: the Bears' playoff hopes died when Noah Brown caught the ball in the end zone.
Oh. Overreaction.
Okay.
Because that's a good team they went up against. Now, I guess I'd have to look at the rest of their schedule to kind of figure out exactly what it is, because they're in a tough division. Like that is a reality. That is a very tough division. But they do have Jacksonville, I believe, on slate. Am I wrong? No, they have the Cardinals.
They already beat Jacksonville overseas, right?
Yeah, they got the Cardinals and Patriots.
Win-win.
Hey, Kevin, guess what?
Not overreaction?
The Bears playoffs have died whenever Jaden Daniels. Because here's the rest of their schedule.
Answer.
Cardinals, division. Patriots, Packers, Vikings, Lions, Niners, Vikings, Lions, Seahawks, Packers. Like the rest of their schedule is their division. And I just don't think they can overcome that.
Okay. Wow. What say you, Mike? We have the very rare in-answer change. I love it.
Yeah, I guess you're putting it on that Hail Mary, but Corey's putting it on the schedule. I lean more towards Corey's schedule than I do that play, but obviously,
sure. I think it's going to be the win
that would be if they miss it by one game. And it sounds like if you think Minnesota's better than them, let's just say they split with Minnesota. They don't have a lot of easy wins on their schedule besides the two, and Arizona might not be as easy as we think, but the Patriots should be easy. If they miss it by one game, then yes, that would have been their death, but it sounds like they could miss it by more than one game.
Now, this one might be tough to convince you of, so hear me out. NFL overreaction or reality: the Colts have had the most interesting season in the NFL. Now, I know the Colts don't seem like an entertaining team, but consider this. Every Colts game this season, every one of them, has been decided by 6 points or less. They are the first team in NFL history to have their first eight games decided by 6 points or less. Not saying it's going to be great, saying it's going to be close. They played the Texans, lost 23-20 because all of their games are that close. Are the Colts having the most interesting season?
Nobody knows because nobody wants to watch them play
football. This is interesting because when I was looking at this, Kevin,
I don't think people are seeking out the Colts in DFW.
It's going to be a close game.
Do you know how many points they have given up this year?
I do not.
172. Do you know how many points they've scored this year?
I'm going to guess it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 172.
175.
Oh,
like that's how close they are to not being good. But yeah, man, I guess it's interesting because of the Anthony Richardson aspect and Joe Flacco. Like Joe Flacco running for 20 yards. Not a single Cowboys running back has run for 20 yards this year.
Or even 15.
Joe Flacco has.
That's weird.
How?
That can't be right.
And then they've had some interesting receivers pop up and Downs and Pierce. And then, I mean, Jonathan Taylor story. So yeah, I don't know if I know a single one of their defensive players. But they have had an interesting season.
Sounds like you're out on this one. You think this is an overreaction?
Yeah, I don't want to watch the Colts.
Okay.
NFL. At no point do I want to watch the Colts play with Who's their quarterback now?
They just said it was Joe Flacco.
I thought they even named another person. I knew Anthony Richardson was out because he doesn't care about his name.
It's smoking Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah, Joe Flacco. Yeah, that's what I want to watch. Interesting. Yeah.
He has been one of the most boring quarterbacks in the history, except for that one playoff.
I'd rather watch Rhino shield my home.
Shield it! NFL.
Like painting. I watched it. It's cool. It's a website I went to. You guys told me to go there.
RhinoShieldTX.com.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pull that, Alec. All right. So NFL overreaction or reality, you saw enough in one game to remind you that Dalvin Cook isn't the answer.
No. Overreaction.
Okay. He didn't run the ball for 12 yards in six carries.
I've seen enough of this offensive line to know that nobody's running behind this offensive
Barry
line.
Barry Sanders.
Okay, you know what? You got a valid point. Barry Sanders is not playing in the... Nobody in the NFL right now is running behind this offensive line this year.
Ooh. I don't know about that.
It would be better.
Yeah.
I heard you're saying successful. Not saying like great. If the Cowboys got Bijan Robinson today in a trade, they would be better at running the ball. Would they be great at it? I'm with you. Yes.
I am.
I'm sure.
Yes.
I'm not.
Okay.
We have a dude who's going to have to reluctantly retire at the end of the year. And now we have two dudes who are going to reluctantly have to retire at the end of the year. All 32 teams are going to look at Zeke and Cook and go, no, thank you. Rico Dowdle is a backup and a solid backup, but a backup. And then we got Spuds McKenzie Webb as the other running back.
Deuce Vaughn, your friend?
Yeah, and I'm not. I think Spud might be taller.
Okay,
like that's the most broken tackles category.
Because that's what it is. You're having to break tackles if you're the running back on this team.
Yeah, and
the most is 16 by James Conner. You think James Conner's making the difference for this team?
I think some of it is broken tackles.
He also has minus 34 tackles for loss. Hold on, that means that he has positive tackles for loss? Or
that is kind of confusing. That feels like more than 16. I think some of it is breaking tackles. I also think some of it, when we talk about the limited amount of run time before you get touched, is because we run right into the spots, like, instead of moving.
If you had the Boise State running back, would you be a great running team? No, I agree with you, Corey. Would you be better? Yes, you would be better. Does that make sense?
All right.
I agree. I'm curious.
Nobody
about...
Nobody ever said we had to agree, guys. I disagree
about
with
Derrick
y'all.
Henry, too.
So, Derrick Henry, he would be run into people, too. He'd be like, the play is called for this.
But he would smash through them. Instead of falling backwards.
I'm willing to concede that, Kevin.
All right. NFL overreaction or reality? Mel Kiper Jr. is right. NFL teams don't have the time to develop a quarterback anymore. Obviously, there's a lot of reasons to go into this. I know Tom Brady talked about it, but the Anthony Richardson thing seems to have kind of been another flashpoint for people. Do you agree that you don't really have time to develop a quarterback anymore?
It gets scary because maybe in a way you look at Jordan Love, and if you do sit him, you get to year four and you have to make a major decision on $50 million or more on a multi-year contract after 18 games started.
Yeah.
So
him getting paid was terrible for those teams because they're like, well, crap.
Yeah, so I think that it's tough because you want to have an idea after 3 to 4 years if he's worth, I think, going forward, $55 to $70 million a year.
Yeah.
That's tough if you do sit out a guy for 2 years because year three, you go, okay, thank God we drafted him in the first round because we kind of have a fifth year built in. But if he has an agent that decides to sit him out, you get into a tough situation, Jordan Love situation, where you're like, we have to make a decision on approximately, let's just go to 30 games played. So sitting a guy out becomes tough on making the major financial decision on him.
You want to take advantage of that cheap quarterback.
Sure.
You want to take advantage of the cheap years on pitchers that you draft, right?
Of course.
I mean, we're seeing more baseball people. Like, that's what sped this up and made it like they want to take advantage of the cheap years of things. Not necessarily the Cowboys, but other teams want to take advantage of those things. I see that. I also think that if you're running your franchise appropriately, you can develop them over a year. I mean, Mahomes had a year. Would he have been the same quarterback if he started that first year? Who knows?
That is true. I just hate
I think people's lack of patience and understanding of how to build a team is really a big problem sometimes.
I agree with that. The one thing I don't like about when Mahomes' name gets brought up, if he's the only example, I'm not saying he is, but if he's the only example, I'm like, well, then we got to change it up. Because
Jordan Love's another example.
Yeah, Jordan Love is...
He sat, and then he's turned out to be pretty good so far.
But to Mike's point, like they had to pay him pretty straight away, and so it is a fine balance for sure.
I think if you're gonna do that, you kind of have to have a 1 to 2 year window that you can develop a quarterback, and then say, okay, it's time to pay him. But you better have your team built too.
Yes, absolutely. NFL overreaction or reality? The Eagles are back. I know I talked about this a little bit the other day. Jalen Hurts, last three games, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions. They won all 3 of those games, despite the fact that they still haven't scored any points in the first quarter. If Jalen Hurts is not turning the ball over, that has been a huge albatross for this team for a while.
Yeah. Going to go ahead and put him in the MVP conversation? Is that what you're saying, if he doesn't turn the ball over the rest of the year?
I don't think he'll go that far, but he could maybe get into a top 5.
I could see that, 5 or 6. Yeah.
So, here's the reason they're probably back. They have a good record. This week they play Jacksonville. That's like a practice game. It's like playing Florida State.
Then they play at
the Cowboys, which should be a very competitive game. Yeah. Dak does usually play well against the Eagles. Home against the Commanders. Then at Rams, they're okay. At Ravens, they'll probably lose. They have the Panthers at home, the Steelers, who are all right at home, at Commanders, home against the Cowboys, home against the Giants. If you just start looking at it, they're probably set up for 9 wins easy at 5-2, and so have the likelihood of getting to 10 or more wins.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers the question on, are they back? I think they're going to win 10 games or maybe 11. Like, yeah, that puts them in the playoffs.
Okay. Bonus question to go along with this. Mike, I'm going to go to you because you know an oddly lot of things about like early... It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
90s at sports.
That is his wheelhouse.
The Eagles are the first team to go 7 games in an NFL season without scoring any points in the first quarter. They're the first team since the 1991 Green Bay Packers. Can you tell me?
Don Majkowski.
I was going to ask either their head coach or one of their quarterbacks. Don Majkowski is correct. His nickname?
Thunder Don. No, Magic Mike.
There you go.
What? It was Magic really Magic
Man.
Mike.
Wasn't it Magic Man? Yeah. We also would have accepted Mike Tomczak, I would have asked who their head coach is. Any
in
idea?
91?
In 91.
It wasn't already the guy. It wasn't already Holmgren, was it? Oh, gosh.
You'll recognize the name when I tell
you. Was it a former SMU coach? No, that's wrong. Go ahead. I don't know.
Lindy Infante.
Oh, man. Detroit Lions. Right? Didn't he go to the Lions later in his career? Am I crazy?
There's your bonus. There's your bonus question. All right. Let me get one more in real quick. NFL overreaction or reality. The Ravens losing to the Browns is emblematic of potentially a bigger problem. All right. And so
I don't think so.
Okay. And the reason why I'm curious about this is they dropped 3 interceptions. The Ravens do have trouble closing out games like we've seen against the Cowboys. So you say you don't think so. I kind of do think this could be emblematic of their bigger issues of closing teams out.
Well, I'm with you on this. When the Ravens, one, they have they blew the lead against the Cowboys, but held on.
They did.
We know this of Lamar Jackson's career, and I don't know how it changes, is if he is down in the fourth quarter.
It's tough, man.
He's not a good quarterback when you put pressure on him to drive down the field to win the game, because the threat of running is not totally eliminated, but somewhat eliminated. The threat of just handing the ball to Derrick Henry on a 7-minute drive is eliminated. So he has to quickly get down the field to score a touchdown. He's not good at that.
Different topic, Kevin.
Oh,
I'm approaching here.
Okay.
John Mishota, who we had on earlier today. Oh, fantastic interview.
Yes, Mishota.
Unfortunately, an FSU fan. He just tweeted out about 9 minutes ago, "I've been covering the Cowboys the entire time they've been at the Star since 2016. The fan tours have been at an all-time high the last couple of weeks."
So
he was right.
On Friday,
he said, thanks.
When we had Jerry Jones on, you're absolutely right. He said, "Thank you for the publicity." And here's John Mishota rolling in and being like, "In the last 8 years, this is the apex."
And I do think that
that's crazy.
Jerry is a genius. You don't want to, it doesn't matter. Like, nothing's changing. You don't want to lose him as an owner. He's unbelievable at the ownership of a franchise in this aspect of it.
It's just I'm not invested in the Cowboys and I don't care about the amount of profit they make. So right. I do not necessarily want that.
That's the tough thing of, like, other owners look up to him and go, he's the, I don't know, platinum standard of ownership. Don't look at the team on the field or the results. That's not what owners really, in a weird way, owners don't really care about winning. It's there,
but it's not
the reason they bought the team. Some of them.
Yeah. I do think some are like, I'll take a loss for a while.
Like, let me ask you this question. I know we're out of time. I'll ask it and Mike likes it.
Okay.
Bye.
Good job, Mike.
Now that's a tease. Coming up next, it is the combination of Mike likes it as well as the combo platter trick or treat edition. Give us a sports opinion. And then what is your favorite Halloween candy or the best costume you've ever worn? 877-881-1053. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
The Dodgers a strike away from a championship, from a proper celebration. Start the party, Los Angeles! Your Dodgers have won the World Series!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time for the Combo Platter Trick or Treat Edition. Give us a sports opinion first, and then what is your favorite Halloween candy or best costume that you've ever worn? Corey, you said you would like to go first.
I would like to go first because we may not be able to say and continue to say this year, defending World Series champs. However, Mike, in your Rangers World freaking champion shirt, we can continue to say for another year that we are the last AL team to win a World Series. So we still have that in our bag, baby.
That's a good point.
And so I say continue riding on with that because
it's been 15 years since the Yankees won a World Series.
You know who the team was before?
That's forever. Can you imagine rooting for a team that hasn't won?
Yes, Mike, I can.
Miserable. Oh, yeah. So miserable.
Especially if you're like a historic franchise.
Yes, I can, Mike. I get it. You're talking about the Cowboys.
Oh, I talking about the Stars.
What's your point?
Thanks, Jerry.
And then I'm not real big on dressing up for Halloween and never have been.
Yes.
But Halloween candy. Adrian got a big bag last weekend. And I said, dumb idea, Adrian. That's going to be gone before we even get to Halloween. And
your wife say thanks for calling me dumb?
No, I didn't say she was dumb. I said her idea was dumb.
Idea was dumb.
So I looked at all the candy and I was like, there's not enough chocolate bars. So last night I went out and I got another bag.
Tomorrow.
And immediately pulled all the Almond Joys out of that bag because that is my favorite. Only on Halloween do I ever eat them.
With the nut or without the nut?
With Almond Joy. Yeah, the mounds.
Because mounds don't.
Yeah.
Oh!
Almond Joys have nuts and mounds don't.
Okay, you know what's funny? My wife is exactly the opposite. When I bought the candy, she goes, I see you went all chocolate. And I was like, oh, okay. So I bought more yesterday. And I go, I took your critique.
And she goes, more chocolate?
Oh, no, I bought, I didn't try to spite her. Yeah. I bought non-chocolate candy.
Women, more chocolate.
And she goes, well, I didn't like mean you needed to get more. You know that, right? And I go, hey, I bought some candy.
I also have this question. How many of y'all's kids, and I'm when I say this, y'all, not you, Alec, just because you don't know about all your kids.
You right all.
Huh? But the people out there, the Tolos, Twolos, and Yolos, are donating the candy. Because Carter and Avery have said they no longer eat the candy they get. They take their candy and then they donate it to shelters and other places. Like, that's what their plan is to do, and they've done this for like the last couple of years now.
Now that you say that, I feel bad. Although I will say, every year when we buy Girl Scout cookies, we buy a bunch of extra boxes to donate. So okay, I will use that as my excuse for why we do not really donate the candy, especially because a little bit last year, but more so this year, Noah's like, candy, I'll take it. And then Brandon is around quite a bit, and he just like, he eats things that I didn't even know he knew were there, and then they've disappeared. So I have to admit, we don't usually do that, no.
Right. Yeah, you could save a lot of time if you just go to your local grocery store or Target or whatever and buy two bags of candy and go, Halloween's over. You weren't going to get more candy than this walking around. Look, I saved you the walking and everything. And
you don't think that's part of the fun kid experience?
I think it is. I wonder what age it is, the kind of study. Is it 13? Is it teenager or is it 1 year after? To me, it's either 13 or 14 when kids are like, I'm done with dressing up. I just want the candy. Yeah. Well, here, I'll pay $15 at Target or Kroger or whatever, buy candy, and now we're done. Stop walking around and ruining people's nights by 13 and 14 year olds walking around in a hoodie and a hat and going, trick or treat, give me something.
Because around 16, 17 is when they say they want to dress up and go to a party. Like, they want to go be at a party with their friends.
Like, that's tonight. My 16 year old is just going to his friend's house for like a Halloween party.
Yeah.
And I don't know what my 14-year-old's doing, to be honest.
If he puts on a hoodie and says he's going trick-or-treating, are you going to tell him not to?
That's what he's
going to
do. I think it's what he did last year at 13.
My kid's friend, him, they've gone to the same lady's house in different costumes for the last 3 weeks. What? There's this one lady. They just went to her house randomly one day, and she was like, oh, it's not Halloween yet, but here you go. And they keep going back every day, and she's like, oh, this is so crazy. A kid just came by yesterday in a different costume.
I have no candy.
It's getting early for this.
Are you going to be home?
Yeah.
You're a skipper?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lights are off. I'm watching Mavs.
Oh, man. Yeah, you got a big Mavs. And the Jets are on tonight.
You're so killing Halloween, Mike. Yeah, dying in front of our eyes.
Good.
God.
Is it because it's Satan's night?
Oh,
somewhat.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, several people.
But that's me. I just don't want to deal with people. And I don't need them knocking on my door. My dog's going insane. You know what I might do? I'll tell you what, come knock on my door. I have two dogs. You got a 50% chance of getting one.
See, I see Mike as the kind of person who's passing out packs of cards.
Yeah, what if I just like, here's a dog. Seems to want to be around you. It's barking like a madman and a mad woman, because one of them's a girl.
Thanks, Mike. Really insightful stuff there. All right. On the fan text from the 972, the Giants beat the Cowboys in their next meeting. Good Lord. That would be your old Yeller moment for the season. And Snickers is the best trick-or-treat candy or Halloween candy. Because it's interesting that you made that distinguishment. That's what I'm going to go with. About like, you might not eat Almond Joys all the time, but when it's fun size and they're around,
Halloween
you're like,
time.
Yeah, I'll
every
take
year.
I'll
I don't
take
I don't ever buy them at a store, ever.
Okay.
But on Halloween, like Milky Way, I love Milky Way. That might be my favorite because I love caramel things. But I will buy, like, if I'm out somewhere, I might get a Milky Way, but I'm not doing it. I'm not waiting until Halloween.
So I have more questions / opinion. I do have opinions on these, but I want you guys to join in. Is that okay? Because Mike Likes It. But
does that mean you have nothing for Mike Likes It now?
I have Nuts. I have D.
It's going to take a load off.
I have Mavs.
Okay.
I have Oklahoma City.
Okay.
How about that? What is D? See, I wrote them all down.
What's D?
No, I'm not going to tell you until we get there. That's a tease. I'm teasing my D. Like, fence. I'm talking, it's just shortening it. That's what kids do. That's what trick-or-treaters do. They shorten words. OKC, that stands for something. It's not.
Why are you still talking? Just get to the damn point.
All right. Last night.
It should just be OC, though, because it's Oklahoma City, not OK. There's no, it's not another.
We're not litigating this right now. That's true. We just aren't.
Wimby. I'm shortening it. His whole name's Victor Wembanyama. There might even be more names to it, but I don't know.
Even that's not right. But we've allowed that pronunciation for more than 2 years
now.
The way
you said it's so wrong.
Be better, and I'll get your name right. So here we go. Wimby going to the Dallas Card Show. Wimby is the hottest basketball card right now.
Yes.
Here's what I still don't get. Is he going to be better than Tim Duncan?
I don't think so.
Like, same team. I know that
totally different skill set.
True.
Because Tim Duncan wasn't shooting threes.
Okay, I got you on that. Wimby can't really create his own shot. Now, he can because, like, he has the height, but he's not, like, you could see against the Mavs, he's not super comfortable with guys crowding him. He handles the ball great for 7'4". But he's not like Luka Doncic or Kyrie Irving, like just like shaking you down, step back, create shot, fake step back. Like, he's great. Wimby is great. Tim Duncan's one of the 10 greatest basketball players of all time. Yeah. He led an organization to 5 championships. That organization. Now, here's why I'm bringing this up as a sports point.
I'm going to try to counterpoint you here.
Wimby's cards are 5 times more valuable than Tim Duncan's.
I'm going to counterpoint with this.
Okay.
Tim Duncan never made any sort of pop cultural impact. Like, for example, do you think, and I know this drives people crazy, so just bear with me when I say more or less. Do you think in the history of basketball, Kobe and Tim Duncan are more or less on an equivalent standing?
They both have 5 championships. Okay. They both played in the same era. They both dominated that era. They were arguably the 2 best players of that era.
But Kobe's cards are worth so much more than Tim Duncan's because he caught the attention of people. And I do think that's one advantage that Wemby has over Tim Duncan is he's already caught the imagination of people more than Tim Duncan ever did. I hear your point on the other side. That's going to be my counter.
And caught the imagination in a time when cards for those people are even higher valued right out of the gate.
True. Like that is
Tim
true.
Duncan's cards, I don't know if they were ever that as high as a rookie card for Wimby.
Yeah, it's to your point, and I know this. This is the tough thing about if you want to get into collecting cards. People talk about it a lot. I love doing it. And I look at Tim Duncan's cards and go, you could have one of the greatest collections and spend, to your point, a fifth of the price
probably,
of Kobe, maybe
probably,
a tenth of the
probably.
Price of Kobe, and have the same collection, and one guy has 5 titles, the other guy has 5 titles. I'm not trying to take anything away from Kobe. He's arguably a top 10 player,
sure,
too, just like Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan had David Robinson the first championship. But I think a lot of people would say might have been Tim who was the better player.
Yeah.
It was very close. Nobody can tell me those 3 titles. In fact, Kobe was so ticked off at Shaq getting the credit at the time as the best player, like Batman and Robin.
Yep.
Who's Robin? It's Kobe. Everybody knows it's Kobe. Now, after he died, and Laker fans like Kobe more than Shaq because he was just a Laker, I think 20 years with the Lakers. Then it became like, well, Kobe led him to all the championships. Kobe was the best player. Kobe, Kobe, Kobe. You're like, no, if you were alive and you were around then, you know it was Shaq. And that was the big beef is like everything kind of goes through triangle Shaq offense. And then Kobe eats off of that. And Kobe, they might have had the best 2 players in the NBA at the same time. But everybody thought it was Shaq. And then Kobe won 2 with Gasol and Lamar Odom and all that and got 5 over Shaq's 4. And Shaq's career depleted because he didn't care about his body and care about, you know, being one of the greatest players of all time.
That's
Kobe did. Tim Duncan kind of did. But because Tim was so quiet in doing it and quiet in his after career, it's like I look at Tim Duncan and Wimby, and I look at San Antonio Spurs fans, and I go, you guys seem to be way more into Wimby than Tim Duncan, and you had one of the 10 greatest players of all time lead you to 5 championships.
It is. I'm with you. It is a bit odd.
But that goes along with these, like Mike said, you have a, you could get it for a fifth of that price. If that's your player, well, do it.
And to, you know, like, to this point,
collect what you like.
I collect Absolutely. Steve Nash over Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson's cards are 2 to 3 times more valuable than Steve Nash. Steve Nash had a better career than Allen Iverson, but Allen Iverson made a cultural impact.
Yeah. Sure, man.
Hey, tattoos are cool. Why are they cool? Literally, like, a lot of it goes to Allen Iverson. Like, cornrows. I'm not saying cornrows didn't exist before Allen Iverson, but they became a pretty big fashion statement. I want to get my hair like.
As opposed to Steve Nash's haircut.
Yeah, which was horrible.
The Goo Goo Dolls haircut that he used to have before he went long.
But yeah, to your point, cultural impact or how you are in the culture.
Yep.
Makes a bigger difference on your card prices than the actual play on the court or on the field.
Sometimes. I definitely agree with that. All right, candy or costume?
Small Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay.
Are my favorite for Halloween candy. I love Snickers. I love a whole bunch of candy, unfortunately. I wish I didn't. But I think for Halloween, I love the mini Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay. I'm with you on that. From the 214, I'm 6'6". And when a Cher from Sonny and Cher, and have also gone as the Crow with full makeup, and the Rangers will be back in the world, excuse me, not the World Series, the playoffs next year. Let's go to the 214. Bo Nix, Pro Bowler. This is a Broncos
fan. He could definitely make the Pro Bowl.
I think so, too.
And then they said,
6 guys drop out. You pick
that's
three,
true.
Those 3 drop out. You pick 3 more. 2 of them drop out. And then you pick 3 more. And then 2 of those say yes.
And then
so
they
you have
said,
to be a top 9 quarterback in the AFC.
Candy corn is the best Halloween candy. Which
Come
I
on,
know,
what are we doing?
Which I know drives some people insane. I like candy corn.
You're the wrong. Guys Jolly, who I love following, they actually just kind of, they're on YouTube. They're British guys who do a lot of food tasting and have, they're awesome. They brought Halloween candy back to Great Britain.
Oh, did they?
And they have the kids there try it out. And they thought candy corn was disgusting. They liked certain things. But they were like, these are horrible. And it feels like candy corn has to be something you grow up on. If you don't eat them
that's
as a
fair.
Kid.
That's fair.
And you get to be, let's say, 13 to 16 years old, and they give you a candy corn. You're like, why am I eating this?
How many things do you think are like that in the candy space, though? Like those wax bottles or the little dots you take off the piece of paper? Like if you gave that to an adult person, they'd be like, what? What are we even doing here?
Bottles, I loved those.
From the 469, Cowboys finished 5-12 this season, and I once wore an inflatable hippo costume.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I like that. I like that. Alec, what are you thinking?
Sports opinion, straight up, this World Series sucked. I did not enjoy it. And that's not just Homer, the Rangers didn't make it or whatever. Like, I'm not a high-ranking TV executive. I don't care what America's going to like when it comes to the ratings and whatnot. I want competitive sporting events. And I seriously think the Cleveland Guardians would have put up a better fight against the Dodgers.
Wow.
I really do. Just the way they play small ball. They play aggressive. They never say die. The Yankees just looked like they kind of rolled over and died, especially yesterday with some of those defensive miscues. Those were just mental lapses. Those aren't things that the fighting Cleveland Guardians would have done under Steven Vogt. So I hate to say it, but this one sucked. Even last night, like, you win on a sack fly. Like, it was just, it was dramatic at times, but it just felt like it was lackluster for the matchup that it was built up to be.
Alec,
so.
You remember yesterday kind of brought us, asked me during crosstalk, what do you mean? And I'm kind of like, well, there's times where you're like, do I want to get on that flight, this and that?
Yeah.
John Smoltz in the telecast said, and you don't want a fake pack for the trip back to Los Angeles. And I'm like, wait, what if you did fake pack and you win? Do you like go, like, oh, I'm going to have to buy clothes in LA because I did not pack for this game 6 set plus possibly game 7 situation.
Favorite costume or candy?
See, it's tough nowadays because I've almost essentially eliminated all sugar from my intake. So Halloween is the one time of the year that and Christmas a little bit that I really allow myself to kind of ignore that diet decision. But I'm a big chocolate guy, so usually like straight up Hershey's, Hershey's with almonds, Hershey's peanut butter. But I'd say all-time favorite, the mini M&Ms. I don't know what about fun-size candy.
Like in the tube?
Yeah, in the little tube.
Yeah. It tastes different.
They're crunchier.
Yeah, they're crunchier. The proportions are better. I don't know what it is, but something makes the fun-size M&Ms taste that much better, and I would go to war for those.
He likes candy coating.
Okay, from the 214, Boise State will win at least one playoff game. And I had a group of five friends. We went out last weekend, each as a different Tom Hanks character. Okay, that would be amazing. It would baffle Colby, who said that Tom Hanks always plays Tom Hanks.
Like Denzel and Julia Roberts.
Well, yeah,
like,
but then we asked him, what Tom Hanks movies have you seen? And he goes, I don't watch any of those movies.
I learned something about Forrest Gump this week. Do you want to know what it is?
That he had AIDS.
No,
that's
well,
Philadelphia.
I mean, that might it definitely was Philadelphia. One of the executives on the movie said that they needed to cut the scene where he runs across the country.
Oh,
one of the most significant scenes in the movie, right? And like, hey, you need to cut that. Him and one of the other guys said, hey, we're gonna go make a deal with the executives. We'll pay for all that with our own salary. We'll pay it out of our salary, but they're gonna give us points for the movie.
Smart decision.
Genius.
Smart decision from the 716 Sports Opinion. Mike should give out Trevor Lawrence cards for Halloween.
I might as well. They're worthless. I can. I honestly, I have enough that I probably have about 100 worthless Trevor Lawrence cards.
It's too late, right?
I think that'd Trevor be amazing.
The top loader's worth more.
And favorite candy.
I'll tell you what, if you want some
crackle.
Zach Wilson's, I guess I'll let you pick, or Justin Fields. What a crappy draft class that was. I guess I was lucky enough not to buy Mac Jones.
That is very, very true.
There's also another crappy quarterback I'm forgetting in that class.
And then, Mike, this fits in with you. From the 972, the best Halloween candy is the 50% off candy on November 1st.
I know.
The 1st.
Tomorrow.
Are you going to bring candy in tomorrow?
I don't want to buy it because I'm trying to be good on eating. And if it's there, I'll eat it because I'm surprised nobody said Kit Kat. That might be my second.
Kit Kat is good. Now, we got Mike Likes It coming up in about maybe 10 seconds. But first,
let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now,
we'll win a $300 gift card to Cavender's.
Yeah.
What would you do with your gift card? Well, hopefully call in right now, and you will get the chance to answer that question. Courtesy of Cavender's, 877-881-1053. And now, Mike Likes It.
Okay, I want to talk about D's Nuts.
All right.
Corey, during the break, because I was like, what other flavors do they have? And you looked them up, because banana pudding, I'm like, if they have banana pudding, do they have, like, how many crazy flavors of D's Nuts? Because Trayvon Diggs offered D's Nuts to that guy, Mike Leslie, and he decided to take the ranch flavored over banana pudding.
They have, I've found.
And that's what they're called, right?
Yep. D-E-E apostrophe S. And it looks like maybe like Aunt D or something like that. Yeah. Everyone loves D's Nuts.
I feel like it should be Uncle.
Dill pickle gourmet peanuts. So they have dill pickle flavored.
Mm-hmm.
They have extra spicy ghost pepper, but those are sold out. They also have hot cheddar, which would be hot cheese, I'm guessing. Then they have ranch and sriracha, and then nanner pudding.
So that makes less sense to me. That, like, I don't know, it just is weird to me. They don't even have honey roasted. They didn't even go with honey roasted.
Well,
like,
again,
I guess because it's so common, they're trying to go uncommon.
Maybe this is some old lady's, like, you know, she was making them at the house, and the kids were like, or old man. And they were like, man, these are really good. And she had that, you know, grandma always has some weird flavor something that she does special that nobody else knows about, right? So maybe that's what it was.
All right, so now I want to talk about Dallas's D. That's what I was teasing, okay?
Okay.
The Dallas Mavericks. They play tonight against the Houston Rockets. We haven't talked about them much at all today. So I wanted to talk about this. This year, they are ninth in defense for points against, which is good. So I'm saying like ninth best.
Yeah.
Not like last year. It felt like mostly ninth worst.
Yeah.
They are giving up 109.8 points a game in their four games played. Now, that to me is good. I'm hoping they stay in the top 10. Sometimes points against, like, per game, I feel like you just need to look at, are they top 10 rather than they're almost giving up 110 points a game.
Yeah,
it's crazy the way the NBA is. Last year, Minnesota was the best in the regular season, and they gave up 106.5 per game. So that was the best last year. But last year, even with how good they were the last about 18 to 20 games of the year, the Mavericks in defense, they gave up 115.6 per game, which was 20th. Can you imagine for this whole year if they go from 20th to, let's say, 10th or 9th? Like, if right now they're 9th, I know it's only four games, but that would be a major improvement, right? Now, maybe not major from what we saw in the playoffs. Maybe not major from what we saw the last month or so of the season.
I gotcha.
But for the whole season, if they go from 115.6 and improve it by 5 or so points and then improve to a top 10 NBA defensive team in points against, that would be a heck of an improvement.
Absolutely. I would be very pleased with that.
Now,
I'm sure we all.
Here's the scary part. I just said 106.5 led the NBA last year, right? I know it's early once again, and this is going to change. The Oklahoma City Thunder are blowing away the competition this year. Points against 94.8.
Wow.
They are destroying NBA teams.
Man.
Destroying. Now, this is why I said I'm going to talk about Oklahoma City, is because last night they played San Antonio. You know, San Antonio, like any other NBA team, they made a run in kind of the third, fourth quarter to cut it from 20 down to like 7-ish. But then they got blown out by 20 and with 3 minutes and change to go. Like, I know it's early, but that San Antonio team, even though they added veteran presence in Harrison Barnes and Chris Paul, it doesn't look like it's going to work out to maybe a 45-win team to figure out how to make the play-in situation. A lot of season to go for them to improve, and obviously they're hoping Wimby, averaging, I believe, like 20 and 12, can become better as the season goes, that maybe he can lead them to wins. Oklahoma City this year in their under 95 points per game against, which means they're just blowing out teams.
That is pretty crazy.
Denver was the opening night game, which I think a lot of people here saw because it was after the Mavericks opening night game where they had the win against San Antonio. The help here is they've played San Antonio, Chicago, and Atlanta, three teams that we don't think are going to make the playoffs. So that kind of helps out, like, oh, who have they played? Because if you look at the Mavericks at 109.8, San Antonio, team probably not making the playoffs. Utah, we know, is not making the playoffs. And then Minnesota and Phoenix, two teams we know are going to make the playoffs and be a very good team. So just wanted to kind of throw out the Mavs defense after four games. Tonight, it's against the Houston Rockets, who right now are third best in the NBA in only giving up 107 points a game.
Can I ask you a quick question about that? Outside of the numbers, which I appreciate, what have you thought watching the defense? Like, let's say you had none of these numbers at your disposal.
Yeah.
What would be your takeaway?
Here's my major takeaway, being specific. Kyrie, Luka, and Klay on the court ain't that bad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's great defense. You do it like Najee Marshall. I think this got overlooked. But after Kyrie missed the two free throws, you're like, oh, crap, he just put the game in jeopardy. Najee Marshall stole the ball from Anthony Edwards.
A significant steal.
He came into the game to play defense and stole the ball from Anthony Edwards, so he didn't even get a shot up. There's a little bit
just
of a fumble.
His pocket, dude.
But, like, yeah, it was like that was really nice. So, you know, that you mentioned Grimes. Grimes is a defensive player first, the more I watch him, rather than offensive player. We're hoping his shot comes around. Najee Marshall is solid, and he is a physical player. And then you have the two centers who are really good, and PJ Washington is very engaged. Klay's not bad. He's not what he used to be. I think this is the part. I was going to say this like on San Francisco radio, but it didn't come up. You know how we fell out of love with DeMarcus Ware?
Yes.
Here? Why? Here's the reason. because we watched DeMarcus Ware at his peak. And we're like, that's not DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a Denver Broncos fan, you get DeMarcus Ware, you're like, you guys are insane. Like, he's still good. Well, we're comparing DeMarcus Ware to DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware isn't DeMarcus Ware anymore. I think Golden State fans in Golden State are like, he's not good anymore. Well, you're comparing Klay Thompson to Klay Thompson. We're not comparing Klay Thompson to 2015 Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
We're watching this guy come onto our team, be a third to fifth guy on the team, and go, dude, he is really good. I'm comparing him to Tim Hardaway Jr. I'm comparing him to what we've had the last 3 years. I'm comparing him to Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm comparing him to these guys. And you're like, he is still really good and the best shooter the Mavericks have had in a while, who's kind of a 3-and-D guy. Yes, his defense isn't as good as it used to be. His three-point shooting isn't as good as it used to be, but he's still really good. So my defensive take is Klay and Luka and Kyrie on the court isn't as big of a liability as I thought it might be. How about that for my defensive take?
Yeah, absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
It's over?
Yeah, it's over. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Like everything?
I didn't even get to my other question.
You know what? You can do it.
Is it a take a load off question?
No, it's about Mavericks ownership. Do you think they care about winning? No. New owners, how much do you like?
Not really.
Yeah, I think that it's about a business venture. Yes. But if they win, it's great. They're not like going to be opposed to winning. And they know that in a way they have to win here because it's the Mavericks, not the Cowboys.
Fair.
But to my point, I was just saying like, hey, owners don't really care about winning. Like, I don't think Jerry cares that much about winning, but it doesn't make them much different than most owners.
Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Let's talk with Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.